This is Morning Edition on KSJD. Good morning. I'm Austin Cope. A little over a year ago, I took a trip to southeastern Utah to visit the then newly declared Bears Ears National Monument. I spoke with two people who live near the monument boundaries, one who is against its declaration and one who supported it. At that time, the 1.3 million acre monument was about 4 months old. The conflict over its declaration was still raw. In the midst of all that political discussion, I wanted to speak to the people who were most affected by the designation. That was last March, and those interviews with Jonah Yellowman and Wendy Black are still available on the KSJD website. Now, 1 year later, there have been some significant changes to the monument. After visits by high-level federal officials and a new proclamation by President Trump last year, the monument size was cut by about 80%. Tribes and environmental groups instantly filed lawsuits to challenge those cuts. And as they move through the courts, the debate has largely faded from the national narrative. But I wanted to check back in about what things were like on the ground. I reached back out to the folks I'd spoken to, Wendy Black and Jonah Yellowman. Wendy Black lived in Blanding and had not supported the monument. She declined my request for a follow-up interview. However, Jonah Yellowman, who lives just south of the Bears Ears National Monument in Monument Valley, said yes. I followed him up the steep and winding dirt road to the top of Moki Dugway at what used to be the southern tip of the monument. It is where we had spoken in March of last year. Jonah Yellowman, thanks for taking the time again to talk with KSJD.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
The reason why I wanted to go all the way up this gravel road has to do with the boundaries of the Bears Ears Monument. They got changed at the end of last year by President Trump. That's all in litigation currently. How important is that, the boundary change and the Bears Ears Monument in the first place?
Well, it's very disappointing in a way, you know, the way it was downsized and compared to what we wanted, and everything that was drawn out the first time is very sacred to us, and we still think that way, and downsizing it's it feels like there's no respect for the natives when that happened.
I want to talk a little bit more about that part of it in a minute, but you have, throughout the past year, spoken, and actually even before that, you've spoken to a lot of reporters and a lot of folks from around Utah, around the Four Corners, and probably around the country. What kind of questions did they come here and ask?
Oh, mainly the same thing, and how we use this land and how important it is to us, and how we relate, why it's so sacred to us, those kind of questions. And that's our everyday life. It seems like, you know, we repeat ourselves telling them, and the reporters and whoever is asking us, students, they have all kinds of different questions. And mostly that's mostly how we use the land, you know, what's the resource that we use, or things like that, you know, they have questions like that.
I'm asking about these questions because there's such a narrative in this country about what Bears Ears is, and how this whole story is played out. And it's hard to line it up with how complex things actually are on the ground. What questions do you wish people would ask?
Oh, I don't know. I just wanted the people to really understand and to stand alongside us, you know, the way that they would understand this is our way of living, our way of life. And I just want people to look at from our side, to maybe stand and look at it from the way we look at things. Maybe that way they won't have that much questions. They can, that we're just as human as they are and you are.
When you say we, are you talking about Navajo people?
Yeah. Native people.
Native people.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit more about that and the divides that you see that happen along between races.
Well, natives, you know, we've been here, we are very traditional, and we are very traditional in different ways. All tribes are like that. I noticed they have their own ways of different rituals and dances, and the way we have ours, we have different types of ceremonies that we do, and how we respect the land, how we talk to the land, and how we talk to the water and the sacred mountains, the sacred plants and the animal people, and different things like that, and even the rocks and different plants and medicine that we use, the food that we use. You know, if people sees it from our side, then they would understand it more. And some of us, you know, we don't even have running water yet. We don't even have electricity, and we just don't turn on the light every time we go in and turn on the air conditioner and just kick back, you know, and get a cold drink out. We don't have that. So that's why, you know, it's very different. The way I see it, you know, the way we try to explain things in our native ways and try to translate it the way we want people to really understand what we're saying into English. It's kind of hard, I think, you know.
How much of the story about Bear's Ears is actually the story of a national monument versus a story of deeper issues?
Well, it goes back. I mean, for the Navajo tribes, you know, Chief Manuelito was born up there. That's how far it goes back, you know. And as far back as during the creation, due to the how the ceremonies has started out, that's how far back it goes. That's where our ancestors have learned how to do their ceremonial ways of doing things, talking to these plants and animal people. And we have stories about those things, so.
When I spoke to you last year, I asked you at the end of the interview how you hope this landscape will look in 50 or 100 years. And you said you wanted it to look exactly the same. Do you think that'll happen?
I hope so. Well, if people really understand what we're saying, and everybody sees the way we're looking at things, and have that respect for land, I think that's going to continue on like that, as from generation to generation. We can't just have money in our eyes and destroy things. We need to stop and think about what we're doing at times and learn how to appreciate what we have. That's what I think, so.
Joni Elliman, thanks so much for taking the time to talk.
Thank you.
Joni Elliman is the spiritual advisor to the environmental advocacy group Utah Dene Pekea. You're listening to Morning Edition. I'm Austin Cope. Thanks for tuning in today.